face, okay? What are you guys selling?
If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
One Hawk Bank Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Alley. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures up 7.25. Dow Futures up 1. They've got Futures down 32. They opened down. SP Futures opened down like 50 some last night. Immediately popped up to like down 28 or so. And were there most of the evening until I went to bed. And now we're up this morning. So I think that's a good thing. We were down on Friday just to refresh everybody because it's hard to tell by day. Dow Jones was down 915 on Friday. That's 4%. S&P Futures down 88, 3.3. NASDAQ down 295, 3.8. Obviously, there's a massive flurry of activity this week regarding the virus, regarding the economy, regarding everything. Frank, how are you?
Good, good.
The market has made its way back this morning to being positive a little bit, but a little wobbly. I'd say it's kind of very wobbly in here, and we have
it's wobbly times, yes. Chief.
I wish people wouldn't say stuff like this. The nothing is out of the question. What it would take for the Fed to start buying stocks?
Oh no!
Yeah,
don't total even. Insanity.
Total insanity. I think that there's a difference. Well, how can I put this? By the way, there's been some very good news this weekend regarding the virus. In a lot of ways. Abbott Labs, Chicago, they're Chicago-based, right? I mean, they got a big headquarters here. I mean, this still is their headquarters, isn't it? They're not in Bermuda or someplace? I think they're still here in, well, what are their
their buildings are here.
They're Deerfield-based, right?
I see Fort Wayne, Indiana-based.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that forever, or is that,
That's just what popped up on a quick search here. So.
Abbott Labs, it's a Chicago.
Okay.
Trending on the headquarters, so.
Yeah, it's interesting, Matty. Are they Deerfield? Frank, aren't you? I mean, it's not right in the city, right? Anyway, they're
not. They're all over.
Yeah.
North Chicago, Waukegan, Lake Bluff. They're all along 94 there.
I remember them because one of Robin's friends, way back in the day, was a. She worked for Abbott. She made very good money. I mean, we're talking in the late 70s. But how's this for a job, Manny? She was an instructor, and whenever they came up with new, they do not really help. Well, I don't know. They've done some stuff lately and bought other people. Originally, they weren't really drug people that much, right, Frank? They were hospital equipment. They'd make the needles. They'd make, you know, all the stuff. And anyway, this lady's job was to go to every hospital and train the nursing staff. So, you know, this is back when Chicago had, well, it's not like they don't have some bad neighborhoods now, but back when they didn't have very many good neighborhoods. But she would be heading into places at 2 in the morning because that's when that shift, like, had their break and was teaching them how to use, like, the new, you know, shot and stuff. I mean, she was everywhere at 2 and 3 in the morning when you didn't want your daughter someplace at 2 and 3 in the morning. That's where she was.
And by the way, Frank was right. Whatever popped up for me was wrong. It is Lake Bluff, Illinois.
Lake Bluff, okay.
Yep.
But anyway, they have a test unit. Looks like a little like smaller than a toaster. And it's going to give you a positive test in 5 minutes and a negative test in 13 minutes. And they're going to have, what is it, 50,000 of these things out within 5 weeks or 4 weeks, Frank? So
something like that.
Anyway, it's a massive breakthrough if the thing is as touted. And somebody else, I think, has an antibodies test ready to go, too, right, Frank?
Mm-hmm.
So, this reminds me, it reminds me a little bit of Pearl Harbor, Frank, in the sense that we were caught asleep a little bit, but the minute we woke up, we fought bravely and well, according to the Japanese. That's the truth. I mean, it's not like... once everybody, you know, shook up the hangover, we didn't do pretty good considering the position we were in. Anyway, so I think...
Well, I think it's good news that the president trying to make, you know, moving away from it, this being a reality show with, you know, 100,000 people dying.
I'm going to say...
Of course, it's going to get good ratings, but it seems like saner heads have taken over.
I know a lot of the stuff you're seeing, people accessing, like, empty exhibition halls and things like that, just in case... To me, Frank, this should have been in the playbook after 9/11.
It was in the playbook.
Well, maybe it was, but now somebody finally
found it. Somebody refused to go off, had their own, you know, for 60 days play in their hands, and refused to go beyond it.
Well, I will say this, the two
hey,
things.
Tom, there's only 15 cases and one death. Come
right.
on.
Well, that was...
Ignore it.
That was not the right thing to say at the time.
No, it wasn't. So, but we're moving in the right direction.
Yes, but now all we can do is what we can do tomorrow. And I think we're making some progress. I don't really like the hype that everybody's convinced that these hospitals are absolutely going to be overwhelmed. I think we're learning fast enough. We need to prepare for it. I'll bet you a beer, Frank, it doesn't happen. I really hope
what's
I'm right.
happening here, I don't think it's the hospitals that are overwhelmed. They don't have the staff.
Right.
And that's what's happened.
I would agree. And I think
because
the idea
they're staffed for being 50% all the time.
What
VIC beds.
I have a question. Never worked in a hospital. I mean, I've been in one a couple times. And it seems to me that everybody is very, very skilled at what they do, right? To me, the danger in a hospital is always some lack of communication where somebody cut your wrong leg off or something. But the individual people I always thought were very skilled virtually at every level. I just wonder how much we're starting to get a lot of people that have survived this. One of my favorite announcers, to be honest with you, for basketball is Doris Burke. She had it. I don't know if you saw that, Frank.
I agree.
And but now what can – now that she's not – going to get it again, at least for a couple of years. That's what I've been reading. Not forever, not like the measles, but a couple of years. What could she do in a hospital to help? Or what could I do if I already had it?
You could empty the trash cans, Jake.
Well,
but that's something.
Now, wait a minute.
We can do stuff. I could shop for people that haven't had it yet.
Right. By the way, you know that I am uniquely qualified for that, is my 6 years as a janitor of the Board of Education. I could swab the floor like the best of them.
You know, well, you could make it look like you're emptying a trash can.
I can swab the deck. It's by the way, it's when you're going to go mop a whole gym floor with those heavy mops. It's all in the hips. It's all in the leg turn. It's all in the movement, Frank.
Oh, I know that. I was janitor at Corby's for 2 years.
Oh, God.
The best job on earth. It was 20 minutes work, and they paid me for 4 hours.
Oh, God. Well, it sounded like the school board, but we won't go into that.
Well, nobody else wanted to, you know, deal with it at all. And it's all about the mopping. You can make mop. If you know when to change the water, it's an easy job.
You got to maintain that you clean your mops. I don't know if you knew that, Manny. When you're done mopping a floor,
sure,
you absolutely have to. You have to freshen your mop. You make sure you clean it up. You run some vinegar through it. And then you actually comb it. So that if you do it right, a mop will last you 6 months, using it every day. And finally, you have to cave in and get a new mop. But one of my best stories for the Chicago Public Schools, Frank, is I was working at this place Christmas. It was a grammar school right behind Bogan. And it was every teacher in there was like 64. It was like nothing you had to do. The teachers made the kids clean the classroom before I got there. You could eat off the floor, right? Well, so one day it snows. You know, it's just, I'm going to say 3 inches of the world's lightest snow. So I know that, you know, they probably want me to shovel it. So I get there at 6 o'clock. It takes me an hour by hand to go around the whole square block. But that's how light the snow was. And, you know, and I was young and like the Chevy commercial said, my steps were quick and light, not like today. And so all of a sudden, I get into the school, and the guy comes by, and he goes, you know, there was no such thing as a time clock. You wrote in your time, right, in pencil, not even in pen. So the guy goes, you know, we had to change your time. I said, well, okay. He says, well, all of us rode in that we got here at 6 to do snow. We actually, we got here at like 7:30 and you had already done it all, so we figured we better put you in at 5, otherwise we wouldn't feel it was fair. Okay. So we erased the 6 and put 5. Is that okay? And I go, yeah, that's fine. What was I supposed to say? I'm the rookie, right? I mean, like, okay, give me another.
You're the kid.
Yeah, I'm just a kid, but, I would, two things, Frank. I honestly believe that even though the guys who put this bill together probably never thought of it. Sometimes when things are done, you can look at it and say, even though they probably didn't have this assumption out in the air, they obviously had this assumption. It looks to me what I've seen on this bill, Frank, and we're going to try and get, by the way, Stacks and Jacks this week, we're trying to get people by the day to come in and talk about various parts of this bill. Brennan's going to talk tomorrow maybe about what it means to have the court shut down and those kind of, that's not part of the bill, but all the different things that are happening, that, you know, that are going on and what the ramifications are. And we're trying to get somebody in to talk about the, you know, this is where our friend, rest in peace, Bob Golden, would be our man to talk about the tax ramifications and how people can benefit from it. But we'll find somebody. Anyway, it looks to me, Frank, that the bill, the pieces I've read, the estimate is 45, possibly 60 days. This bill's useless if we're talking a half a year.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I mean, it's not like I would have done anything different. I wouldn't have. You know, it's probably where I would have seen out, but these tests and this, oh, by the way, the latest was the, they think the TB inoculation is going to work for this at least partially. Have you read that or not?
So there's, no, I did not.
So there's some reasonably good, evidently the TB inoculation doesn't specifically target TB. It targets a bunch of different diseases, for lack of a better term, sort of in the same general family, and it ups the body's response to them. So it's a little different type of a vaccine. So it basically makes the body stronger. If a TB shows up, the body fights off the TB. Instead of that,
well, we were of an age where TB was still a concern. Remember, yep. TB stamps that people would put on their Christmas cards?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that was really the reason for the original Chicago Lung Association. I went to one of the, one of my clients was the head of that group, so we'd get invited every year, and we'd buy the tickets, and we'd go to the first look at the auto show. And one year, they had this huge, what do you call it, board with all the old pictures on it, collage of pictures, and it really was to beat TV. And what was, man, you look up the drug that beat, was it erythromycin? It was one of, wasn't penicillin, was one of the antibiotics that came after, Frank, that was specifically targeted for TB. But
well, we had the big TB hospital. Is that what, Northeastern College now? Where,
yeah.
The City College is on the old TB sanitarium. There was one down in Oak Lawn, maybe.
But if you think that people were afraid of this thing, I mean, people are nowhere near afraid of this as they were afraid of polio and TB. I mean, this one, I think most people resigned to the fact if you get it, you're probably going to be okay. And if not, well, that's just your day. I mean, I don't think that's great, but
polio was scary because it hit your kids.
Yep.
I'm at the tail end of the polio, but I remember kids who had polio.
Yeah, I do too.
And I was very young. But the Logan Center, which was at the south end of campus.
Yeah, that's what that
on
was.
On Angela.
Yeah, yeah.
That was South Bend's polio hospital.
Well, the I'm saying is some of the pictures of this TB thing, I was stunned. I didn't realize it was that. They had pictures, get a load of this, Manny. Schools like in Iowa, where you grew up, the schoolhouse, in the dead of winter, had no walls and no roof. They had a class with a floor, with a desk, with a blackboard and a teacher, teaching in the outside because they figured the germs would not pass. If you were outside, you couldn't pass germs from kid to kid, which I guess you couldn't as much as you did inside. I get that part, but Going to class was bad enough. Can you imagine that? They got all these poor little girls sitting there in these big coats and their mittens, and they're all trying to write and stuff. I'm like, God. So, I mean, it's not like
people
we ever
are having 12-step AA meetings in the parks, big circles. Everybody's 6 to 10 feet apart. I saw one of them up in Orland the other day.
Well, we went to the Orland Bakery yesterday, and they only let a certain number of people in the store, so you keep your distance, and everybody outside in the line was 6 feet apart. The only problem with that was is the wind was about 50 miles an hour. But
it was amazing.
I think people are absolutely using their head. Virtually everybody I see. I did see the one lady in the, I stopped at the S&T Provisions, and the girl goes, God, I've been waiting at 500 people a day for 8 weeks. If I haven't got it now, I don't know what's going to cause me to get it. But she's young.
I'm going to save you a trip to Orland Bakery. Weber Bakery is doing curbside delivery.
Well, they are too.
Call up, you order what you want, they ring it up, and then they bring it out to your car.
Well, yesterday was if you bought something, you got the free cupcake. It was a big deal.
We go to Weber up in Archer in Harlem.
Oh, okay. It was an old line bakery. They're all. So how much butter?
Best bakery in town, I think. Old line bakery.
How many? Well, the place up on it's a place that, right where you used to live, Manny. Is it Broadway and
Dinkles?
Yeah.
It's on. Are you talking about Dinkles on Lincoln Avenue?
Lincoln. It's on Lincoln. Yeah, it's on Eagle Street.
Yeah, it's a great place.
All right, a couple of things, Frank. We should talk about though. As I mentioned the idea that this plan looks to me to be a 45 to 60 day plan, which I'm not criticizing. I'm saying that's probably the thing you should do right now. I also someday somewhere, if this goes on much longer, the people on this show are not going to be the only people to figure out that you don't just print money and shove it at stuff ad infinitum and make it work. Because that's called the Weimar Republic, right? I mean, at some point, the Fed's got to stop doing this because people are going to figure out there's nothing behind it.
No, exactly. You're right. I think all of us agree. And but we run the spectrum of political beliefs.
When in this world we now live in, of instant criticism, a bunch of tweets, boy, I was watching a lot of stuff last night because, of course, I'm locked in. And they had some lady on talking about everybody is a critic. And I might have been the doctor from Queens. She goes, we've given a forum to every armchair quarterback on earth that never did anything. And you know what? There's something to be said for that. She goes, everybody's criticizing hospitals or criticizing doctors. They have no idea what they're talking about. Okay. And
Or it's like the people that criticize sports. It's exactly the same thing. You and I both look at Notre Dame message boards, and we always had one kid in a section that knew everything. Well, now they can all congregate in one place.
Yeah.
It's totally toxic, and it's the same with politics.
I always liked the idea that in football, guys would always say, God, if he just would throw deep. Out of all the things in the world, Manny, and you're our sports guy, do you think that if you had a line that could block, and a receiver could get behind the other guy's people, and a quarterback could throw, and one play would equal 6 points. Do you think if you could possibly do that, you wouldn't try it?
Of course you would.
Why do these people think, man, we got Chief playing wide receiver. Why don't they throw deep? Because Chief can't run further than 20 yards. That's why, you idiot.
I like the guys who never put on a jock strap saying, well, obviously they didn't try hard enough.
Yeah.
That is... It drives me insane when people say that, having been, a pretty good athlete myself. I mean, there's times I sucked, but it wasn't because I wasn't trying.
Well, that is the humanness of sports. It's the human something of athletic competition. What's the white world of sports? Human drama of athletic competition. We've all played, even in softball or handball or whatever. I was a pretty good handball player. Everybody's at a softball game where you really, really wanted to have your best game, and you just sucked. And another game, I mean, you almost didn't even feel like being there. You might have been sick or something or had a cold, and every time you hit the ball, it found grass. I mean, you never know, right?
It's the same with trading, too, yeah. Standing in a pit.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Sometimes you have the rhythm, sometimes you don't.
It's nice when you do, isn't it? Isn't it kind of fun? You, the only thing is you can't ever let it go to your head because you know the next day will be just the opposite. I'm worried about the Fed because I've been reading some articles, a lot of them Carl's been sending me. When you have essentially an unlimited fiat currency, you've got no standard, no gold standard, no nothing. I'm not a huge fan of the gold standard, but it was a discipline. Right now there is no discipline. There's none whatsoever. If these guys want to double the money supply, they'll double it and tell everybody they're richer. But when you have an entire economy, and let's face it, it's based on debt. And every time you have an economy that's based on debt, there's going to be an issue, be it, you know, the housing thing, be it this. I mean, no, this is pretty tough because it came from outside. Whatever it is, there's going to be some kind of a crisis coming someplace where that debt is in danger. And the discipline is, every once in a while, you just got to let it crash. That used to be the discipline. Now the discipline is, the people that have the debt, or the amount of debt, is so big, we can't let that happen. So we pour money into the system to essentially buy more debt and put it on the federal government, and we prop the debt up. And then
prop it up with credit card rates.
Right. Well, the Fed isn't paying
interest payments.
But right now, if there's a problem in the commercial paper market, which there ought to be a problem, because why would somebody buy the commercial paper right now not knowing if the companies are going to be open 120 days from now? So why would people be not wanting to pay 100 cents on the buck? You'd be an idiot to, right? Yet the Fed is piling in. Now, again, all the good news this weekend, I have a feeling we're going to make ourselves out of this and say we dodged a massive, massive bullet. Well, a lot of people aren't going to dodge it, so not everybody's going to dodge it. But right now what the Fed's doing is saying, well, if nobody else will buy it, we'll buy it. They print the money to come in there and buy it. They're talking about the municipal funds market. They go in there and buy it. They're talking about corporate debt. Well, one of the people I work with at NFO does the bond stuff for those guys. He called me and told me that the Boeing bonds, the day before, 2 days before they got cut to junk, one step above junk, Ford was cut to junk. The bid on some Boeing bonds he was trying to sell, they were originally 20 years, but they only got 3 years left, Frank, maybe? 3 or 4? 2024? So they were 60-90. So the liquidity dried up. When there was one trade, it was at 74. This is 74 cents on the buck. Okay, now these bonds, if they were put out 10, 20 years ago, they probably have a reasonable interest rate on them. So if they do, they should be trading over 100, right, Frank? Not under 100.
Yes.
So for those of you that, if I was too fast there, if a bond is paying 8%, if that's the coupon rate, and the market rate of interest is 4, you're going to find that bond trading at what? Depending on how much time it's got left, but it's got 30 years left, probably trading at what, Frank? 150?
Yeah, maybe 140.
Yeah, and is the time gets
shorter.
Interest
rates are pretty low, right? At 8%, yeah.
Yeah. So whatever. If anybody has issues with that, tweet in, and we'll go over it again one of these days. But the bottom line is, people are worried about the Boeing debt. Now the Fed is going to swoop in, and they're going to prop that up. If all of a sudden somebody can't sell a municipal bond, municipal bonds are illiquid. They're very liquid. That's why I'm very reluctant to put any of my people in them, because I've had enough people that have transferred into PTI where they've asked me to sell one of them, and I've had trouble.
You and I have our biggest problems as traders was when liquidity dried up,
right,
or we were in an illiquid position. We are so paranoid about the liquidity.
Right. Well, and Brendan has been in most of his life has been in that business, and he says that when somebody buys, you know, a tranche of Chicago Public School bonds, it's usually an insurance company, and they're ready to hold it for 30 years. Because the next day, you go out and try and hit a bid, there's no bid. There probably is a bid, but RBC, you know, that's a nice thing to have an RBC as our clearing firm at PTI, because they're actually pretty good at this. So if given enough time, you know, we've usually been able to find a bid for some of this stuff and do right by our client. But God, Frank, a couple times they were TIF bonds in like Philadelphia or someplace, and I'm like, God bless, they're 40 bid at 90, you know, Then you put an offer in there, and then the firm, some firm wants to put an offer right next to you so they can scalp you. I mean, it's a horrible market. I mean, so.
Oh, yeah. They'll cut the market. You'll be at 80, and all of a sudden somebody's 79.
Right.
It's like,
yeah.
And I should have hit the bid because the bid went down a quarter, and it's like, oh, God.
Or they won't show yours, and they're at 81. If they sell at 81, they'll buy yours at 80, which is mighty nice of them. Remember how it used to be on the old Instanet? The NASD markets were like that. If you tried to cut their price, they would trade over you, and then they'd pick yours off.
Oh, it was amazing, yeah. The old Instanet. I worked for a person that was eventually banned from the floor, and he'd want me to rat hole, sell 100 shares, sell 100 shares, sell 100 shares, and down below I'd have 10,000 bid for, trying to panic the market.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you who it was someday, but definitely not over the air.
Well, I hope the Fed doesn't reach the end of where people figured out their game. I think they've got 60 days doing this too, Frank. I don't think it's 120, so let's hope that all the stuff, the good news I talked about, wraps this up in 45 days. Frank, thank
you
very much.
Let's hope people are healthy.
Yes, I'll probably have you on later in the week. Take care of yourself. But okay. S&P Futures up 1150. Back, Mr. John Flanagan.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment.
Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley. Mr. Merrill Weber. Mr. John Flanagan as well. Maddie, did you see they ran the Florida Derby with... There's one thing since everybody... Of course, you can't even go to the bar and watch the game anymore. All OTB's all got to be closed, right?
I would imagine.
Yeah. Anyway, S&P futures only up 450 now. Nasdaq futures up 25. They were down 50 last night, then down 30, then down 25, and now we're up... This morning we're up 12, now we're up 4. So we're kind of all over the place. Individual stocks have Johnson & Johnson up 680. As the headline is, Johnson & Johnson begin clinical trials on coronavirus vaccine candidate. Anyway, we already talked about some of that good news. We're going to go over it again because we haven't had much good news on this in a while. So a little bit I find, man, I have to talk about, right? For God's sake, we'll talk about the negative enough. Anyway, S&P futures up 3, Dow futures up 40. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 14. It's pretty flat. Wow, only 0.1%. A FTSE down 36.7. CAC round down 32.7. As Boris Johnson says, he is seriously pissed off at the Chinese for not giving them the right scoop. We'll talk about that in a second. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei down 304. That's 1.5%. Shanghai down 25.9%. Hang Seng down 309, 1.3%. Bonds, 10-year 0.66. Bund, minus 0.52. Japan, again, slightly above 0.007. Oil, whack, 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 whack. 2042, that's down $1.09. That's down 5%. Well, we got oil down to a spot where 5% is $1. Brent, down 2.2287. Natural gas, 163. RBOB, 50 cents. Maddie, what is it in the city? I paid, how did I pay a state? $1.97, something like that?
I don't know. I haven't got gas in quite a while. But I think the cheaper place near us is maybe like 2:30 right now.
Yeah, well, so get a load of this. There's a Shell station. Since they don't have coffee inside at the Myers, they took can't go get your own coffee now. That's part of the whatever. So anyway, so I go to the Shell thinking, okay, I get coffee there. Well, at least they have this big roof over it, right? It wasn't no sides, but it's the roof over it. So there's no roof, right? I'm going, what the hell happened to the roof? So I go in, I get my coffee, and I say to the lady, what happened to the roof? You guys take it down? And she goes, well, not exactly. I said, what do you mean by that? She goes, well, we were remodeling it, and it fell down. That's not good.
Yikes.
Yeah, yikes. You're underneath that. Anyway, we got gold down 750, but still in the mid-1600s, 1646. Silver 1418, down is 35 cents. Again, I don't know if I'm stubborn or early, and you never really know as a trader. I still think gold's going to make a bigger run if the Fed keeps doing what they're doing, but we will see. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports? No sports.
No sports. 37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have a crash on the south side at Cottage Grove and 91st, a car into a building. We're thinking the building won that. Three ambulances are responding, and crews are on the scene, but that's affecting Cottage Grove at 91st, so keep that in mind. Everything else looking good out there, though. Coming in on the Ryan, I-57 or the Bishop Ford is all quiet. No issues on the Stevenson or Eisenhower. Kennedy and Eden's looking good, as is Lakeshore Drive. Suburban tollways are all quiet, too. Only other issue in the area is downtown. Michigan Avenue between 9th Street and 8th Street in the South Loop is closed due to debris falling from a building. Crews will be working on that throughout the morning, but Michigan Avenue will remain closed between 8th and 9th due to that debris. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, we'll see some sunshine today. Hopefully the winds will die down a little bit, and temperatures will be about the same. Partly cloudy skies with a high of 46. Right now it is partly cloudy and 41 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 79 today. Right now it's clear and 53. This day in sports history, a few things of note. On this date, March 30th, 1981, it was Indiana beating North Carolina 63-50 in the national championship game. That was Bobby Knight's second national title. Isaiah Thomas, a Chicago native, was the leader of that team and the tournament's most outstanding player. On this date in 1990, Jack Nicklaus made his senior PGA Tour debut, shooting a 71 in the first round of the tradition at Desert Mountain, but he went on to win the event by four strokes, beating Gary Player, it looks like, in the 1990 senior debut of Jack Nicklaus. And on this date, Chief, in 2001, at 15 years and 9 months old, American swimmer Michael Phelps breaks the 200-meter butterfly world record at the U.S. World Championship Trials in Austin, Texas, becoming the youngest male to set a world mark.
And he was in the next Olympics, but his big splash was, pardon the pun, was 4 years later, right?
I honestly don't remember. I'd have to look, but that sounds right. I mean, he won medals in three straight Olympics, right?
Yeah, the first one he got a couple, but the second one is when he really dominated. I don't know what he did in the third, but maybe you can find that out. John, how are you, bud?
Tom, I'm doing well. How about you?
All right. All the stuff I sent you guys on the weekend, I came out of it, well, as encouraged as you possibly can with both the tests from Abbott, a couple of vaccines on the way, possibly the TB vaccine. I'm absolutely convinced now we're not going to be anywhere near this massive amount of deaths here that predicted. And I do have a shout-out for our Jen, I don't... As my mother said years and years ago, a wise lady, when the news went to from 15 minutes to a half hour because of Vietnam, she said, when the war's over, are we going to go back to 15 minutes or are we going to have to listen to these guys for a half hour? Which, of course, never happened. The amount of hype, what would possess anybody? I mean, you know, we just do a podcast, which I think, by the way, is with all the letters and stuff I'm getting, must be growing in popularity pretty fast all of a sudden, but that's the good news. But I don't, how does somebody get on national TV where you know you got, you know, millions of people listening to you and start quoting stuff in China when nobody knows crap about what's going on in China? And they talk about the way China beat the thing. And we've known forever that that in this show, because we had somebody who was from there, the amount of deaths over there were nothing like they told people. The idea that they had no new cases, which was such BS to start with. You see that thing I sent you yesterday about the crematoriums? Normally, there are 400 people a day cremated in that area, and it's been like 2,200 for the last 100 days or something?
Yeah. I saw a statistic. I can't remember now where I saw this or if I was reading it right, but somebody had tracked the number of deactivated cell phone accounts in China, which because of people's movements or whatever, or, you know, they often, you know, have multiple accounts in other regions, but there's something like 21 million deactivated cell phone accounts, which would indicate that there's 21 million fewer users at minimum. And if that's the case, then who knows what the numbers might be. So,
well, the
good Lord,
yeah. Well, this is just in the one province, but they've got. Crematorium is working overtime, and I, you know, what did the original, the guy Greg called in with, Maddie, and in January, the Uber driver that lived came from that area, said he thought it was 1.5 million people affected, 150,000 deaths, and that was the end of January. He says, no, he goes, in China, nobody cares about 20 people dying, there's 1.5 billion people there. You think it would be world news if 20 people were dead?
Well, you're absolutely right, and that's, you know, thinking about the Boris Johnson, rejection of Huawei because of how he feels misled by what was really happening.
Not only that, he's sick.
That's tip of the iceberg, really, I think.
Yeah, plus he's sick, which he's to be more pissed
right.
off.
He's got a real axe to grind.
you talk about the cell phones, now in Maddie's generation, sorry, Maddie, but, you know, you're my foil for this. What can I tell you? On Maddie's generation, are they going to rename the obituaries when his group starts to go? When they start pulling them out of your pen, as the Irish say, Maddie, are they going to rename it Silent Phone?
It's not bad.
Well, you know, when I worked for the trucking company, and we'd have lunch at 4 in the morning, John, which, of course, as it started to get cold, that was like the worst idea, because there was no heat out on the docks, right? So you're unloading boxes and stuff, so you're kind of sweated up, but you're okay because you're working, right? Well, as soon as you go inside, even if you yank off your windbreaker and stuff, when you go back out, you're like freezing because you're wet. It takes you another half hour of hard work just to get back to where you're not freezing again. Anyway, so they would have this trucker's magazine, and guess what the obituaries was? Silent Wheels. So Maddie's generation is going to call Silent Cell. You call and nobody answers. Actually, no, nobody answers anyway. You text and nobody texts back.
Right.
Because nobody calls anybody. Actually, we have a new tenant downstairs, Maddie. And of course, she texts me to find out when she could call. And I'm like, I totally screwed her up. I called her right back. And she goes, well, was this a good time? Well, yeah, or else I wouldn't have called you. Like, oh, okay. So she was absolutely stunned. Instead of texting her back, now is it okay to call? I just called her, John. She was stunned.
This is what everybody wants in a landlord, Tom.
Yeah, just... I can remember, oh, God, I mean, it wasn't that long ago, John. You'd call Matt Weber for basketball. His mom would answer the phone. She goes, Matt isn't home yet. What park? What time? I'll get the message to him. Yeah. Talk about a world away, huh, Matty?
It really is, yeah. None of us had cell phones in high school. We didn't start, my age group didn't start getting into them until college or even after college. And certainly smartphones didn't exist yet.
No, yeah, oh, yeah.
So it was, I'm like the last generation that grew up on both sides of the change in the world.
But you know what? Your mom would have been fine with it. You always would have made it to the game. We still played.
That's right.
We managed to get it done. Yeah. Anyway, John, am I right to be three things this morning? A, I'm very enthusiastic about, A, the tests. I'm enthusiastic about the plasma stuff. I'm enthusiastic about this TB thing that I sent you last night. I'm enthusiastic about the Johnson & Johnson stuff, but here's the two major, careful here. One is, I think this plan is a 45-day plan, and if it's 90 days, none of these businesses are coming back, or very few. And the other thing is, the Fed gets about 60 days to do this, and until finally everybody's going to figure it out, and all we're going to have is inflation, and they got to stop what they're doing. And if somebody can't float their paper, they just can't float their paper.
You're absolutely right about, I think, all of that, Tom. And it has to be no more than a 45-day plan because it's still evolving and there's no real way of predicting what can happen in the short term or long term. The numbers that seem to be bandied around in the press briefings, it looks as if there's a pretty good handle, I think, at least in populated areas, for what's going on and where there's pressure on the healthcare system. And at least the image, you know, the optics of what I'm seeing in these briefings is, it looks like it's under control, which it didn't at first.
Right.
I mean, it was very much, you know, it was you could tell just in the faces of people that they weren't sure. But I do detect a lot more confidence and certainty, and even in the questioning too, in the briefings. I think overall, people seem like they have been able to manage their anxiety more effectively about this, which is always good, I think. It's just, unless you're just completely Pollyanna-ish about it, which I don't think is the case, it's better to have a cool head than a hot head here. So,
well, we are still, one of my criticisms, and we've all been going back and forth all weekend on this, is this reminds me an awful lot of a trade, a position. Every single day, you can't be wedded to your position the day before. You have to form new opinions every day based on the new data. I'm seeing the new data being somewhat encouraged, but I heard a lot of people last night in 60 Minutes and otherwise are absolutely convinced, say at a hospital in Chicago that still has rooms, that still has beds, or even in New York, there's some that still have beds and still have rooms. They're absolutely paranoid about this massive rush of a gazillion people in April. As soon as you think that may not materialize to the extent that you've prepared, to be perfectly blunt, scared people for, you got to back off on that, John. You can't have people going crazy on something 3 weeks from now that maybe won't occur.
Right.
I mean, and the minute you think that you're, because I don't think there's any question in order.
So wait, you're telling people to prepare, but then you're telling people to not prepare.
No, I'm not. I'm
trying to figure out which one it is.
What I'm saying is every day you have to. Right now we've scared people.
No, you say we're preparing in case the worst happens. But if you don't do that and you're not prepared, then you're in way worse trouble.
But we have an awful lot of people absolutely paranoid about.
Well, that's their
3
problem.
3 weeks from now. No, it's not. Not
it's common sense to prepare. Why would you not prepare?
I didn't say you shouldn't prepare. I never said that.
That's what you're saying. You're saying then don't have all these extra beds and scare people not need them.
What
that
I said
makes
was
no sense.
I think the idea of the McCormick Place, the United Center, all that stuff is absolutely terrific. I said that earlier in the show. What I'm saying is there are people on last night that said they've got a handle on things right now, but 3 weeks from now we're going to need
we don't know
30 more 300 more ventilators. The minute it looks like it's not going to happen, I'm saying let's tell people so they at least they stand down a hair. It's still going to be bad.
But we don't know. That's why you prepare.
I think if any of these drugs start to work, we'll know.
Right, we will know if they start to work. Yes, and then at that point, then we can adjust. But to say that you shouldn't scare people because you're preparing
we are over scaring people. I think
because we're preparing,
and maybe we had to do that to get some people to listen. Okay, well, all I'm saying is the minute you don't have to do it, stop it.
There's nothing wrong with that. But we're not even close to there yet.
Last night. What I said was. Is based on some of the news this weekend, which looks to me to be a lot of it is all good. We could be talking next Monday about having a handle on this.
Hopefully we are.
And I'm saying if we are, then we need to back off on some of this stuff. Right now, I think if we get an antibodies test, let's get the people who've already had it helping out at some of these places, right? If I had it, I'd volunteer today if I already had it.
People are scared because we're preparing, then they're idiots.
No.
You prepare in case something bad happens. That's what you're supposed to do.
People in hospitals have been told to expect like 20,000 people 3 weeks from now. I'm thinking that the 20,000 number is high. I'm hoping I'm right. Because people are being very afraid of stuff that may not happen. Because that hurts people too. I'm saying let's tell the truth all the way through like I'm starting to see happening. I'm congratulating people. I'm not being a knucklehead today. Last week I was a knucklehead because people were making decisions without any data. I think in a few days, John, we're going to have some data, and I think the decisions are starting to be a lot better, don't you?
I do, and you know, because people are grounded, you have limited opportunities to see what's really going on. So I took myself off to the grocery store yesterday and was fully prepared to see panic mode like the last two visits in the last 2 weeks I've made, which was pandemonium. And yesterday it was refreshingly boring to be in the grocery store. Everybody was very like civil, observing a 6 foot distance between yourself and the shopping cart in front or back of you. The cashiers were perfectly relaxed. I mean, everything that was fully stocked, paper products, everything was a normal experience at the grocery store. And I got to tell you, just from the standpoint of a shopper who's just trying to keep food in the refrigerator. That was a positive step for me after my last two experiences, which were wrenching for me. I just was not used to that kind of crisis, mood in these places, which you normally associate with just, neighborhood errands. They become battlegrounds.
Well, if you have any problem,
okay. So that to me is a plus. Something has improved from my last, over the last 2 weeks for me.
If you have any problem with your fridge, just go over and raid Audrey. She won't even know. she's got chow for. Earned by 8 of her girlfriends, maybe to the next century, maybe. I've never seen so much. Now at the Myers, they still didn't have any TP no TP or paper towels,
tissue,
no hand cleaning stuff. For some reason, no Hellman's mayonnaise and the tuna fish. Do people really want tuna fish that bad?
I mean, well, yesterday I noticed all the canned goods, the entire aisle of my local Aldi, where I do most of my shopping. A limited 4 cans of anything per shopper, which I can see their point, but everything was fully stocked. So that's, I think, visually, it was very reassuring to people. There was no need to just buy everything on the shelf for a piece when you saw that, well, there's plenty here for the next, until they restock on Tuesday.
I might have to, if I was torn between a can of canned beans and Croquin, I might have to take number 2. Just saying, I don't know. But at the Myers, they had a lady wearing her gloves. Every cart before you got it, she totally wiped the thing down with alcohol and everything. Here, use this cart. I just wiped it down. Okay. Every stayed 6 feet apart. But I did suggest to the manager, because she ran over and because there were only a couple people in line, but she ran over and opened up another line, so we want to make sure nobody has to wait. And I said, you really need to change your policy. And she goes, what's that? And I said, well, when you have something missing, I really do think you should put a big picture of what it was and put a sign you missed it.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I missed. If all I see is an empty spot on the shelf. Right, Manny?
Well, it just shows good. You know, one of the things I really think people always need in tough times is somebody managing the anxiety that,
yeah,
that people are likely to just let spin out of control without somebody understanding where people are coming from. So I am, you know, it's like the FDR mantra we hear often on the show about fearing only fear itself. You got to make people unafraid of things that, you know, there's no point in being afraid about it. And if you can do anything to tamp down their anxiety, that's a plus in a time like this. Doesn't mean you embolden them to do stupid things. It just means you don't make them fret about things that there's no need to fret about. And that's always healthy, mentally and socially, so.
Well, you can't so much live in fear, John, but I will say this. I mean, what we've seen with the deaths and so forth, and hopefully we won't see too much more, but it looks like at least for a little while. If when you get to our age, you certainly realize there are, and this is everything is good news is also bad news. I mean, we have people that are alive in this country that 20, 30 years ago would not be alive, right? They have people that have, they may have a heart arrhythmia. They might have, well, mine fortunately was fixed. I haven't had a problem in 15 years, knock on wood. But there are people, there's an amazing amount of cancer survivors, which you didn't have 25 years ago. You have people that are on chemo that if chemo works, it basically takes you to the edge of the casket and then brings you back, right? I mean, that's what it does. I mean, it's for anybody who thinks that it doesn't. There are a lot of people who are, quote, compromised. And that's the good news. And they're susceptible to the common cold. They're susceptible to a regular flu. They're susceptible to a bad regular flu. And they're even more susceptible to this. I mean, those just are the facts, right? And nobody wants to see that happen. So a few things of common sense early on, I think we sort of missed that, because one of the criticisms I have is there's this overriding thing that I don't care what happens to you, just don't infect me. A little more than I've ever seen, which I think pretty much sucks. But if you see, you know, two 25-year-olds playing basketball in the park and send them home, you at least, I think, should ask or be curious, by the way, where are you going? If one guy says, I'm going home to the garden apartment by Maddie Weber in chief, and I'm the only one there, well, then fine, send him home. If he says I'm going home to a house with 15 people in it, might want to test them first, right? Right, Jay? I mean, you know, there's...
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, everything you do has an opposite reaction to it, right? I mean, it's not... No man can do just one thing. And all I'm saying is, for a few weeks, it looked like we didn't ever head it on straight, and now it looks like maybe we do. Is that fair?
Yeah, you know, the only thing in looking back, especially in the shutdown of the restaurants, the bars, I wish that had been done in a more measured way, perhaps staggered over a week, you know, certain areas or by zip code or something, to stagger it so that it didn't create a huge pool of unemployed, terrified people looking for their next paycheck. And that's kind of where we still are,
right, in
unemployment. You know, the Department of Employment Security hasn't kept up with it, and that's added to people's stress and strife. And I don't know if that was necessary. I think eventually there would have had to have been a shutdown overall, but did it have to be done the way it was in such a knee-jerk way? I don't think so. That's a mistake, I think, and it could have been handled much better and given the state agencies time to regroup and put people at ease from the get-go instead of being put on hold or getting a busy signal for 2 weeks straight. I mean, that's kind of where we are now. It didn't have to be that way.
No. Well, I think a lot of that had to do with the Chinese, and a lot of it, and this pisses the hell out of me, John and Maddie, and Maddie knows this, and he doesn't necessarily agree with me. The U.S. people that had factories in those areas that knew exactly what was happening and didn't inform our government. You know what? I hope there's a special place in hell for you. I honestly do. Because you can't tell me that they didn't know and somehow or another felt they had to shut up about it.
Well, and take it another step further, what about, you know, Governor Pritzker and the Hyatt's 72 hotels in communist China? Can you really make me believe that none of those hotels saw any change in their attendance among employees or their staff?
Oh, right, right. I agree.
It's unbelievable that there wouldn't have been rumblings from 3 or 4 months ago that something was off, and now we're just supposed to assume that nobody knew about this until the end of January. I mean, come on.
Well, we'll talk about it after the break, but what... Right now, I mean, we're going to find, I mean, I mentioned the name Doris Burke earlier, and the coach on, what's his name, the coach on New Orleans?
Sean Payton.
Yeah, I have a feeling they should be able to go stand and talk in the park. Right?
Yeah.
Well, we have to at least figure out what to do with all, because I honestly believe, John, that most people, especially the Southside people I was talking to, they're convinced from what they've heard on the news that if you're younger, you're probably going to get it. You're probably going to be okay. Bring it on. You know, and that's, they're not all that wrong in certain groups. But obviously you'd love to have a vaccine, and some of those, like we said earlier, some of them look like they're somewhat promising. So we'd rather not. Anyway, S&P futures now up 950. So moving north again here. We were down all the way up 3 for a second. Now we're up 950. NASDAQ futures up 31. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, Audrey Johnson, at Realtor.com. That's Audrey Johnson at Realtor.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Blowing up by Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. It's Matt Weber on the board. John Flanagan with us as well. SP Futures up 9. NASDAQ Futures up 35. We're down last night, but we're bouncing today. Kind of doesn't surprise me, as I think, despite the... we had a guy in the pit, John, an Irish guy. When people start complaining, like people at home tweeting all day long now, he used to say, the snipes are grousing.
I like that.
I like that, man.
That's good.
That's good. And we've seen a lot of grousing. We have to admonish Mr. Weber here. Maddie, you know who died? What day was this? I'm sorry, Friday. So I guess I should have picked it up sooner. You know, you ever hear the name Les Hunter?
I don't think so.
He was a star, an African American star of the Loyola's 1963 national championship team.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we talked about them on This Day in Sports a week ago or right. So.
Evidently, he died on Friday, unfortunately, 77. That was a real big deal back then to have a black dude on your team. What year was, what's his name? God, man, I'm drawing a blank. He just passed too, maybe a couple years ago, the Notre Dame guy. He was the he was late 50s, early 60s. He was Notre Dame's first black player, and was a hell of a player, and a terrific guy. He used to do the I met him once. I mean, he was very nice. I mean, one of the most engaging people. Maybe I can't believe I forget the guy's name, Tom something something. But that was a big deal because the Irish played all these Southern schools. I think he was 50s, John. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. And I can't think of his name.
That's because I mentioned it first.
I remember him being talked about.
Yeah. And when they were going to play these schools in the South, Hesburgh was not like a shrinking violet like some people are today. He didn't say the athletic director. Hesburgh called the president of the other schools and said, "We're bringing this black guy. He's staying with the team. If you don't like it, just let me know. We won't show up. But we're coming, and we're not putting him some other place. We're not doing anything like that. He's on our team. He's a teammate. That's it." And but he made all those calls himself, John. He didn't tweet to somebody or tweet out to the press or anything like that. And Ted was in your face kind of guy. I mean, I miss him in a lot of ways, don't you?
I mean, boy, do I. And I think he, you know, as a kind of a model for what a university president used to be or could be, compared to what they've become now, which is really a bureaucrat, unfortunately. But he was of a different mold entirely, and. Everything I knew about him from just being, you know, there while he was president and in reading his stuff, it's just confirmed all my good feelings about him.
You remember Jean Pearl? Then became Jean Marabito. She was on the show, but she went to St. Mary's. And the merger that didn't go through, the story with Ted Hesburgh was, you knew where his office was on what? The second floor of the old admin player, Tommy Hawkins. Just remembered. Tommy Hawkins, John. he died 2017 at age 80, so he was older than this. He must have been 50s. Anyway, the story always was, if my light's on, just walk up. No security, no nothing. You know, you just walked in the front door of the place. She knocked on the door of his office, just come on in, sat down, she had a couple of cocktails. She says, you know, I just want to let you know, I'm really pissed off about this merger not going through. And he goes, well, so am I. He goes, we tried, and it didn't work out. And she says, well, I don't know if you tried hard enough. She goes, I know, we tried pretty hard. He goes, I was doing it. but you know, and she said, he didn't, like, promise to reopen negotiations for me. She goes, just the idea that I could walk in and sit down and he would talk to me was like something. This day and age, none of these guys will do that. They didn't treat you like that. You just walk in and sat down. There was no guard. There was no handcuffs. There was no spraying you. You walked in. It was like, it's just different. These dudes, they were fearless. I mean, they're guys like that. I mean, women too, obviously.
Well, he wasn't somebody who managed by press release or was afraid of the first bit of negative publicity and then run for cover or send out another press release to countermand the first. He was very upfront, reasoned. He was not a knee-jerk kind of guy, but you always had a sense that he would stand by whatever he decided, and he did, as far as I could tell. And he took some strong positions and some unpopular positions, and he added to his strength by being convinced about it. Right? I mean, it wasn't like he was blind to stuff. He listened to people, and he was available to students, to people in the priesthood and the Holy Cross Order and the Board of Trustees and all of that. He was very sensitive to that. But in the end, he knew it was on his neck, and he was perfectly willing to take that responsibility. And he could give lessons to a lot of people in the corporate world today.
Well, even the slight criticism I have of Fauci on this particular drug, because I think some of the tests, since we were 3 or 4 weeks late, China's fault, our fault, who the hell knows, everybody's fault. I think some of the tests should have been used somehow to find out where we were, and not just to find out if people were already sick, really had it or not. Because I think to this moment, we still don't know the four numbers that we need to know. How many people have it, how many people don't have it, how many people have had it. You know, and until we get a better grasp of those three numbers, I think the policy is still going to be wobbly. But now that we're going to have maybe a vaccine or at least some stuff that helps pretty soon, I think we're going to get there anyway, John. I honestly do. So maybe by the end of the week I'll feel worse, but today we look like the America that I remember, where everybody's on this, and we're all of a sudden making strides by the hour, it seems. Or am I just?
Yeah, I saw that they're doing mass testing for healthcare workers at the old vehicle emission testing place over west of me here on Forest Preserve Drive, going towards Norridge. And they just got drive through the old place where you'd have your car tested for admissions. That's now for testing, and I guess they can tell in 5 minutes what's going on, and then they counsel you to seek care or go home and self-quarantine, and at least they're getting data on people in the healthcare industry for now, and then they might open it up to a wider circle of people before this week is over. But in the meantime, this looks quite orderly and useful, and people are adhering to what's being asked of them, as far as I can tell. And overall, I think it's helping people feel like somebody's in control. So,
well, I think we need to know how many there are, and we need to make use of those recovered, even if it's to go drink at the bar that can now open.
Yeah, bar for the recoverers.
Right. Well, I mean, like I said, I don't think Sean Payton and Doris Burke should be locked up in their apartment, right? Why should they be? They already had it.
I agree.
I mean, we need to figure that stuff out. So, what do you? How long do you think we can stay? By the way, I did want to mention. I mentioned to you yesterday. I'm surprised that the Audrey's business. I mean, real estate people are considered. They can still take people to houses. I mean, obviously she's doing her best, and she's got the alcohol wipes in the car and a whole bit, and they're doing everything when they go to people's houses to work. But it seems like that particular industry hasn't missed a beat. They're doing closings online. They're doing stuff. I mean, they seem to have stepped up pretty well from what I see. I'm no expert on it, but I think people are still closing and still looking, doing stuff.
From what I hear, yes. I mean, the money that's in the mortgage pipeline, for approved loans, seem to be closing according to schedule. Maybe moving is a little more difficult just because of, whatever people's situations are, whether you can get a moving crew on that date or not. But overall, I don't see that being an issue at the moment, which is great, because this is the time of the year where you want that to be working well. You know what really does concern me, though, Tom, and this came up last week in the show about the grant of money to the Kennedy Center as part of this, bailout package. And I think, the Kennedy Center is just what a soulless city like Washington, D.C. needs more of, where you have arts and dance and theater and so on. But that money, apparently, the $25 million or whatever that was voted, the members of the National Symphony Orchestra, their resident orchestra, are not going to be paid after tomorrow. So, the Kennedy Center will continue to pay health care premiums and insurance on their musical instruments, but not their salaries. And I look around in Chicago, and my own personal entertainment budget on things like the symphony and the opera, they are toast. I mean, the opera season has canceled, and the ring cycle that was in the pipeline for the last 7.5 years completely canceled. The symphony's canceled through May 10th, and likely after that. These arts organizations don't get money other than from their ticket sales. And with a hole like this, I don't see all these organizations coming back as strong or at all. So I'm worried about things like dance, theater, music that can't sustain a complete shutdown. They're in some ways more acutely funded and sensitive to what's going on than the restaurant business, if anything.
John, so we're very careful to make sure that these sacred cows, and Pritzker, he shut everything down on what? A Thursday, but he wasn't going to do it on a Monday because he wanted his election to go through, right?
Yeah. What I mean, God.
Yeah. So you can't try. I'm going to say that this bill coming through is going to help a lot of the usual players. It's going to help anybody with a lobbyist, but all the people you're talking about, and a lot of the restaurant and bar owners that I know, I think 45 days is the number.
I think
if the symphony's back up and going by the end of April, they make it. If it's the end of June, they don't.
I think so. And they're big budget organizations. You look at the smaller ones that have much less room to play with financially. It'll be a shorter time span than that. And then just to show you the irony of what's really going on, though, today I pick up the Times, and there's a full-page article about the generosity of the Pritzker family with a big blow-up picture of Penny Pritzker and how they gave $1.5 million to a Chicago relief fund administered through United Way. And, God bless anybody who gives money charitably and so on. But I think all they've done is bought a full-page ad in the Sun-Times to counter all the other bad press. The way this thing has been mismanaged statewide has really gone down poorly with people. It's sort of gone down poorly with me. Lightfoot gets higher marks from me than Pritzker does.
Well, they all want to see themselves on TV. I think that they've got to get off this telling other people kind of what to do. They'll get used to it too quick, John. I don't want to see anybody get this disease, but if they tell people to go out for a walk, and 50 people walk the Buckingham Fountain, and for the couple of seconds you're there, you duck within 5 feet of somebody. I mean, come on. Come on. I mean, if this thing's that dangerous, we'd all have it by now, right? Just saying.
That's my thinking.
But now the good news, Maddie, now what did you just determine from what John just said? It sounds to me like there's an awful lot of unused entertainment dollars in Mr. Flanagan's pocket. So the first night
that
Tripoli is open, I'm going to say we should not even have to bring our wallets.
Yeah, on a micro level, the individual people's credit card bills have to be going way down, and
true.
You could actually look at it as a short-term positive to in that way. But obviously, if you lose your job, it doesn't really matter if you're not spending money.
Well, plus if it's for booze, you're not going to catch up.
Yeah.
I can only put so many frozen pizzas in my refrigerator here, so
I'm curious to have John expand upon a little bit about what you said. Lightfoot, in your mind, deserved higher marks than Pritzker.
What did she
do better? What did he do worse?
Well, every time I see Pritzker, he's whining about what's happening in Washington. And in effect, to me, it's just like shrugging off, his own incompetence and getting, a faster response for unemployment applications and everything else. He just dodges that bullet completely. Whereas Lightfoot has really, she looks like she's she's suffering along with the people that she's asking to suffer. Whereas with Pritzker, he just moans and groans about people that he's not getting stuff fast enough from. And that to me is completely ineffectual in a time like this. People don't want to hear that message at all. You know, they want somebody who's more reassuring about what I can do instead of saying I can't do anything because I can't get this. Well, that's a poor message to be spending people's time watching.
It's a sign of the times,
whereas,
though, Jack.
Whereas Lightfoot is just, you know, she's asking people, kind of pleading with them, and I think some of it is just her emotional appeal and her demeanor. She's better at this than Pritzker as a way of kind of making people feel something. When I see Pritzker, all I feel is what a completely useless piece of whatever you are. I don't get anything from him that I can use or translate into activity. With Lightfoot, I feel like we got to kind of like knuckle under, you know, and then do the best we can. I'm not a particular fan of Lightfoot's either, but in this kind of situation, I see her getting better marks at dealing with the public than Pritzker does.
Well, I don't know, John, there's a whole, I wish I knew enough to write a piece on this. I honestly don't know what the legacy of the Homeland Security, which had to be the worst bill anybody ever put together. Wow, we got a lot of bad bills. I honestly don't know, and I don't think you do either, although you may know more than me. I'm not so sure how it all shook out in terms of preparation, who was responsible for what. I mean, I don't know that if the state was supposed to coordinate all the stuff. Well, if we have 50,000 people hurt here in Chicago, we're going to go to Rantoul. We're going to go to Great Lakes. We're going to go to, I mean, where are we going to set up temporary triage? Where are we going to, are we going to use McCormick? I mean, I don't know how much of that was supposed to be with money contributed by the federal government, I would hope, and the local people, or was it all supposed to be top down from the Fed? I mean, I honestly don't know the answer to that. So a lot of what we're hearing is the state blaming the federal government, federal government blaming the states. And of course, if you're Republican, you side with Trump against Pritzker, and if you're Democrat, you side with Pritzker against Trump. But to be honest, nobody knows what both sides were supposed to do 20 years ago to be prepared. And I don't know if either Trump or Pritzker know, to be honest with you.
Right. And it's always been, you know, really kind of a case by case.
Yeah.
Determination, and you know, when FEMA gets involved, if a disaster area is declared because of a tornado outbreak or an earthquake or flooding or you name it, can you get into the line, you know, for the federal money that's available for things like that that are too big for the state to handle? But the irony of seeing Pritzker moaning and groaning when Illinois, among all 50 states, probably has the most pathetic track record of putting aside any money for anything other than, you know, useless stuff. I kind of shake my head and think, well, you know, the nerve of this guy.
But I mean, you have to.
Sorry, it just doesn't go down well with me at all.
But you, I think you do understand more than most that as a job, as a politician, everything good that happens is your fault. Everything bad that happens is somebody else's fault. It's totally antithetical to being a money manager because I'm the only one here. I don't get to do both. Oh God, that was the market's fault. No, it went up. That was mine. I did that for you.
And that's how people like Pritzker gets, you know, full page advertisement in Lynn Sweet's column in the Sun Times today for being so generous and capable. And I think, well, that's just, you know, that is just really sticks in my craw.
Well, I mean, but we can go back and we can say that. From a lot of stuff Kevin has sent me and other things, even though Trump was a total buffoon on this thing starting out, his people and the actual notifications that people were supposed to send out and a lot of the stuff that they got rolling, pretty much a lot of the stuff was pretty timely. And if China would have been more upfront, I think it would have been more timely. Yet what people are going to remember is that Trump personally didn't give it a kick in the butt early on and say, hey, no, these people are serious. This is serious. Listen to him. He went the other way. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that, but now he's on board. He's doing better.
But remember the flack he took for the travel ban at the end of January. The Democrats were all over
him. But they didn't articulate. If they'd have gotten the right numbers out of China and could have painted a picture of what was going on over there, he wouldn't have taken any flack. You're always going to take flack in today's world because people have nothing better to do than be snipes and grouse, right? So no matter what you do, you're going to take flack. So you might as well do the right thing. Right?
Well, and I think, you know, the idea of having the daily briefings, and the one thing, I mean, I find them hard to watch sometimes just because it's you know, there's a lot of voices, there's a lot of viewpoints that the press is sometimes, you know, digging in its heels, Trump is digging in his heels, and other people get the floor. But they're overall very well managed as far as, you know, the free exchange of information. Everybody seems to be able to get a question in, which was never the case with any Obama press conference I ever saw in 8 years. He would give 10-minute speeches to, like, three questions in the course of the few press conferences he ever had about anything. So here you have somebody who's doing a daily thing, which, but, you know, what else can you do other than give the, at least the appearance that you care enough about this to go in front of the press with your battery of people behind you and give some kind of a unified message? I couldn't ask any more of a president of any party to
well,
do that.
It was like a board meeting at the CBOE where before any board member would say anything, they would all get in the habit of genuflecting and say, before I say this, I just want to say that the staff, the management here is the best I've ever seen. And then maybe you'd lob a slight criticism or another point of view out there. Do we really have to have every single person genuflect and say what a great job Trump's doing? I don't think you guys would come on the show if I required that.
Of course not.
No. Try to say that he's the world's greatest president ever, and by the way, come on, lay off. Just say what you got to say. It's old. I'm just saying. Yeah. It's not a Southsider.
That's a small piece of the whole picture, I think.
You know, it is,
given
but
how long these things go on for, and
you're right, but it's every day.
Get to chime in, so you know, I give them high marks for the way it's handled.
Well, a lot of people are going to remember there's only 15 cases 3 weeks ago, so it's hard. It's been hard for him to take that one back, John.
Right.
But no, I'm saying is we were. I honestly don't know. I mean, Maddie, I don't know. Do you have an opinion? What the state's supposed to do right now? But I will say this, when the states, and I've heard three or four guys say this, the guy from Louisiana was saying it last night. He wasn't on 60 Minutes, on something else. Actually, it was yesterday morning. He was on Meet the Press. Which one's the blonde-haired lady, Maddie? There's Margaret Bennett's on the one. I thought the guy was on the other, but there was a blonde-haired lady who was doing all the interviewing yesterday. And anyway, the guy says, we're going to buy ventilators, we're going to buy masks, we're being outbid by the federal government and by other states. Clearly, that's not the plan. I mean, it could have been outlined, John. I mean, that you got to stop, you would think.
Well, yeah, I don't know how you coordinate that, but you've got to have some mechanism that allows, you know, the states to bid without, you know, somebody higher up on the food chain outbidding them. So I don't know quite how that would have been managed. But, you know, if Pritzker wrote a check, that would get rid of the problem.
Well, so we shove Louisiana down a step. There's a solution. Spoken like a true Illinoisan. Let's just pay more and screw those people
just
from
like
Louisiana.
Sending our sewage down the Mississippi. Yeah. Not my problem anymore. You worry about it.
You know what, though? In that case, dilution.
Location.
Once it gets down far enough, it's okay. Because, you know, there's a lot of little bacteria that eat all the stuff that's in there. Just saying. Well, not all. That's why they didn't want you, like, pouring your antifreeze down there, because no matter what you did, you couldn't get rid of the antifreeze.
Yeah.
But now we don't do that anymore. So, Jan, can we escape this without having a whole lot of, you know, politicians have power that they never had before and now think they have them? Can we get through this? How many people are going to be, after being in it? We hope that they're either, well, they're going to be, one of my listeners sent me a note saying, how many people are going to be pregnant, divorced, or both? I hope not too many are both. Just
yeah.
That
well,
would be
and, you know, the question of how much goodwill people have that will be used up in the next, you know, 60 days or so, if things don't go according to schedule, will certainly change, you know, the dynamics here in a way that I can't predict. So I think, you know, if things like summer school, it continues on track in some organized form or another, and the schools get to some degree of routine like they had, and families can resume some kind of routine. I'm not saying it's all going to be back in place by July 1st or even September 1st at the rate we're going. But people want to see some kind of, you know, expectation here that all of this has been to somehow get back to a, you know, a quieter way of life than we're used to, and we don't want storms like this every couple months and crisis after crisis. So I think that it really ups the ante for the next virus that comes down the pike. It really ups the ante for the next crisis. If we have, you know, a stormy spring, if we have a flooding summer, who knows? But I'm just saying that people's tolerance for inaction or delays will, you know, evaporate pretty fast if the next time around people see that this hasn't resulted in any better planning from the top down. So people are keeping a close watch on this. I am, for one, because there's a lot riding on it. And
it doesn't mean
handled well, you know, that's good. But if it's not handled well, people aren't going to be so patient the next time.
But you're, just because you're pissed off doesn't mean you'll get a choice. You're still going to get Trump or Biden.
No, that's true.
You're still going to get Trump or Biden.
Well, I don't think it's going to be Biden at this point. I think it may be Cuomo the candidate, or maybe somebody else is going to step into that void, because I just don't see Biden.
Well, Cuomo's got to, he's got to pull a Bobby Kennedy. He's got to win a couple of late-breaking things just so nobody has the majority going in, and then he can take a shot at it. But if Biden has a majority, he's going to get it. How can he not? You got to vote for him in the first round, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I haven't looked at the delegate count lately, but it's close. I mean, it's definitely, in the next, if these primaries aren't postponed or terminated, which is what Biden was asking, you know, let's just stop these now.
Well, if he terminates them, then the convention is going to be open by definition.
Right, and then that's, you know, I don't see Biden kind of having the stamina to stay in a contested convention for very long. I just don't think he's got, you know, enough charisma to get delegates, you know, to back him up. I think the party is going to freak out if they see him in action for very long in a crisis situation. He just doesn't seem to have the chops for it. So
no. Anyway, Jan, thank you very much. Probably need you later in a week, but SP Futures now up 18, 19. We're gaining on it here. So we're 70-some points off the low last night. We'll get the exact number from David. We'll be right back, Mr. David Andelman.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708 208-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, everyone. Thanks, Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Ali, Mr. Matt Weber. Mr. David Andelman in a second. SC Futures down 20. SC Futures up 67. Again, big turnaround from last night. We're down 50. Not huge, huge. I mean, it's the way we're talking about today, but 50 is a big move. And it's turned that way around. The individual stocks going down 10. And we have Johnson & Johnson up 530 as they have alleged they have some kind of a vaccine coming down the pike. So that would be very nice. Dow Futures are up 68. So yeah, they're not going to be up so much with Boeing down 10. Over in Europe, we've got DAX down 6.9, so call that flat. FTSE down 37.7%. CAC around down 49, that's 1.1%. Over in Asia, we've got Nikkei down 304, that's 1.6%. Shanghai down 25.9%. Hang Seng down 309, 1.3%. Australia stocks are up 7%, so we're kind of all over the place. Bonds, 10-year, 0.65, obviously low. The Bund, minus 0.53. Japan hanging above 0.007, so just hanging. Oil, on $1.33, 2018, about ready to go under 20 at this rate. But that would be unbelievable. Brent, down 219, 22.74. Remember when this spread used to be like $11, Manny, we talk about? Now it's 260. That's incredible. RBOB, 51 cents. Natural gas, $1.63. We've got gold down 13 bucks, 13.40. Silver down 39 cents, 14.14. Copper, still going nowhere, 2.16. The news out of China is that they are burying a lot more people than they're admitting to. That's what we saw anyway. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic Brothers Sports.
Coming up on 37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Expressways are still very light, very clear. No accidents or stalls to report. So that's good news. Off the expressways, though, we have a crash at Kedzie Avenue on the northbound side just before getting onto I-55. So that's causing some issues on Kedzie. And then out in the western suburbs, Irving Park Road on the eastbound side at York Road, there is a crash. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine today. The wind should calm down a little bit from the high wind gusts we had yesterday. We'll reach a high of just 46, but it'll be sunny at least. Right now it's clear and 41 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 79 today. Right now it's clear and 54. Chief.
David, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
What was our low last night? I saw it down 58. Was that the low or close to it?
Which index are you talking about?
I'm talking about the S&Ps or the E-minis.
E-mini was 2445. That's about 97 lower than where we're at.
That's a big move.
It was down, 80?
Yeah, I saw it down 60 or 59.
I mean, the mini NASDAQ has a 325-point range.
Wow.
Dow futures from 20, 20,778 to 21,825. So 1,050. They're doing their 5% overnight almost every night.
Yeah, that, what do you, we opened down, I think we probably opened on a low, right? Or close to it?
Yeah, the E-mini S&P, the opening yesterday, what, 5 or 6 o'clock, it opened Central Time, 24.59, went down to 24.45, up to 25.67, to lower, to now whatever. My quotes are a couple minutes delayed, like 15, 16, 18 higher.
The E-mini 25.45, the June.
Right.
So 21 and a quarter.
Yeah, it's they're shaking.
Yeah, they are. We got Boeing kind of heading south. This news out of Janssen's pretty good, and the stock is being rewarded this morning. Who makes it? I forgot. Maybe I sent the thing to you. They didn't say who made. There's a 20 or 30-year old vaccine out there for tuberculosis, David, that they're thinking might work for this. Evidently, the TB vaccine is not a targeted just for TB. It basically bolsters the body's immune system to where it can fight off TB and other things, and I think this thing might be one of the other things.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know Regeneron, I've been mentioning it, and I don't own any, full disclosure, for about 3 weeks. I've day traded it and spread traded it, but I don't own a single share nor an option. But they have Regenevir, and they have some older malaria medications that in the cocktail have shown some promise. I don't know the one with tuberculosis. I don't know that one. You know, the ones I know of are Gilead Sciences, Moderna, and Regeneron. But I don't believe any of those have the tuberculosis. Full disclosure, I do own very small position in Moderna and Gilead Sciences, nothing in Regeneron.
If I'm only asking you this question, not because you are a medical doctor, but because of your family and your children, you've been hanging around doctors, let's say.
I have a really, he's not an epidemiologist or anything like that. He's an orthopedic surgeon, but he's very, very smart. And he did his internship and residency at Bellevue. So, I mean, he was exposed, Dartmouth undergraduate, you know. I mean, he's the real deal. He's very, very smart.
Well, my question is that I actually got a thing from my doctor on the air, or not the air, the robocall, saying if you feel sick, you can certainly free to call him, but he doesn't have any tests. He's going to have to send you to some hospital, hope you'll get one there. Now the question is, this TB thing, they claim that this has been around forever, it's very cheap, and that every doctor's got them. So if you thought there was a snowball's chance in hell the thing would work, why wouldn't I just go into my guy today and say, hey, how about winging me that TB thing? If it's $20, what's the difference? By the way, I don't want to get TB either. Let me have it.
Yeah, I don't know what the protocol is for that. I would guess, pure guess, know nothing about it, just throwing something out in the air. No credentials for making this guess, but I would guess that the FDA and the medical profession has some kind of, you know, regimen protocol where you can use this drug, use this vaccine, use this whatever for treatment that show symptoms of tuberculosis, and that's when you can use it, and you can't use it otherwise unless it's approved. Again, that's totally a guess. No foundation.
Well, I think they give it to you if you go overseas somewhere where there's TB. I can say I'm going overseas. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't have the foundation to know.
So, Maddie, what if I tell them I'm going to the islands? I was just in Blue Island to get my truck fixed on Friday. wouldn't even be a lie. So, David, get a load of this. I drop my truck off at my new guys in Blue Island, and I walk over to the Prairie Street flag stop for the Rock Island. Big, huge train comes in. I get on. I kind of notice it's pretty sparse. Guess how many people on the whole train?
I have not many. You and one other person.
You're exactly right. Me and one other person.
And I'll tell you how I guess. I had to go pick something up wore my mask and goggles and rubber gloves. When was it, Thursday, Friday? I had to go out. It was a prescription or something. And I went by the Deerfield stop, which is a major stop. And, I mean, when I took it, I mean, you'd have to walk a block at 3 o'clock before people got home to get a spot. There were, and there's two sides, one on the east side of the tracks and one on the west side. There was two cars on one side and two cars on the other side.
Yeah.
And I know for positive, they used to have two or three people that worked, you know, till 5 o'clock inside. So including workers, there were four cars.
That's really, I think, in our building downtown here, we have a few people coming in, obviously, to run the brokerage firm, because we still are picking the phone up for everybody. But, I mean, David, there's three people in the office, and there's one other person in the building. It's not like we're breaking any rules. I mean, it's easy to stay 6 feet apart.
Yeah, the office is pretty sizable.
Yeah, I mean, so, what is your feeling? I dipped into a few stocks last week. My goal was to find 10. I only found 3 or 4, but I only did stuff lightly because my idea was if I could find 10 and I clunked on 2 and they went out of business, I'd still be okay if 8 survived. Well, fortunately, the 3 or 4 that I've done have all survived, at least so far. I picked FCX, it's kind of the mining company. I picked U.S. Steel, I picked Ford, and I'm hemming and hawing on whether I should do GE, and I'm really hemming and hawing on Halliburton. I don't know about that one, because I don't know about the oil patch. And I'm just kind of working my way through some of these things and just being really, really light on them. The other one I have is Cleveland Cliffs I'm thinking about doing, but then you run into some of the stocks, though, David. I'm just running into whether the options are non-existent. I mean, whoever... You know, we keep talking about how great it is to have only 4 people sitting in options markets. You run into a stack. Halliburton, same way. You can't do a trade in there. I mean, but of course the SEC is not on any of these people that are supposed to be making markets, because when you only have 4 people, the stuff we used to find people when there were 20 people, when you only have 4, then you let them go, right? Because they have more power than the regulators. That's just the way that works, unfortunately. But anyway, I'm having some trouble finding some liquidity and some stuff, and I'm not going to do anything. Like Frank mentioned earlier, if you ever traded on a trading floor, you don't want any part of anything that's not liquid.
Right.
But is there an airline? I was also thinking maybe JetBlue. I don't know. But I mean, these are not anything I've done massive. I'm trying to just guess off the top of my head places that maybe are going to survive. But I don't know. Is Ford going to survive? I think they are, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they've certainly been directed to make ventilators, you know, 1,000 a day or whatever. But I don't know how long they can carry them. I have no idea. I mean, as far as the airlines, in full disclosure, I have a little bit of Delta, a little bit of UAL, which I'm not proud to say, but a little bit. But calls and just rolling the calls. The one that I don't have, Zero, that supposedly has, you know, not so much exposure to international, nor the 737 MAX, and supposedly is the best run, is Southwest symbol LUV, and I don't own any. Let me just look at the chart just for...
Well, they don't have any exposure to the MAX now because they don't need it. But if they actually start to grow, they probably have the most exposure to the thing not being available.
Right. There is, by the way, on the chart, there's a nice gap from which it looked like it made a bottom, 34.49. It's bid 35.04 to 35.19. So just from a technical play, and I haven't probably traded it for at least a year, maybe longer, 34.50 on that stock makes sense.
Well, what do you make? I mean, it appears, since the stock is up, what's down this morning, it's up $70 from its lower, 65. That Boeing's going to be a huge chunk of this, and Boeing's a huge employer, and blah blah blah. I get that. Lou was giving me the full nine yards degree, whatever it was on Thursday. What exactly does this virus have to do with Boeing? This has nothing to do with them. I mean, a little bit that people.
Well, it does. I mean, they announced that they were going to go back into manufacturing the 737 MAX in May. And, you know, if the airlines are still grounded
yeah.
till June 1st at least, then nobody's going to want those. And beyond that, with this bailout package, we know that, you know, I'm not going to say they're on life support because I know they got 20 years worth of orders, although who knows how many of them have been canceled. But they basically said, hey, you want warrants, you want equity, we won't take the money. And they've exhausted their credit, so... You know, it's the whole picture. It's not just the virus.
Well, I get it. But I guess what I'm saying is, I understand that you know, Manny Weber's hot dog stand is in deep doo doo because of the virus. I'm going to say the United Airlines, even though I'm super critical of the board, even if the board had done everything I asked them to do, they'd still be in 70% of the pickle they are now. Just maybe not 100%, but they'd still have problems. Nobody expected this, but I don't see what exactly. Wasn't Boeing's own making. It's not like in the last month that that all of a sudden people are kicking planes back to them. Their problems are 5 years old.
Yeah, but it was kind of like it was a fluid situation.
Yeah.
Other than the two crashes, you know, they could pushed out an A1 balance sheet and whatever. Well, when you take down more and more and more and more debt, and you don't have the fluid situation. Where, you know, folks are saying, you know, hey, yeah, we want the 737 MAX, and oh, yeah, people are flying. And there's the other aspect of the aerospace. There has been some talk, I mean, Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman and you know, all these defense stocks have gotten crippled, too. Why? Well, who knows? I own a little bit of them, mainly LMT, Lockheed Martin, very, very small chunks. But, you know, there's talk that with these $2 trillion and more bailouts that, you know, if you're sending checks to people and, you know, trying to backstop banks on commercial paper and mortgage-backed securities and the like, that, you know, they maybe they may cut back the defense spending. Well, that affects Boeing, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got to believe the factory's got to be closed.
Right.
I mean, Lockheed Martin is a place.
All this stuff does affect it one way
sure
or the
does.
Other.
Sure it does. I mean, I'm just saying that Boeing probably has the least percentage of their issues are the virus than virtually anybody else we can talk about.
You know, who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, the picture is so big, and there's
yeah.
so many outliers, and so many, I wouldn't call them green shoots, but black shoots, that who knows?
I'm thinking... I'm just going to ask your opinion. I'm not trying to lead the witness here, but...
My son wanted to buy it, and I told him to wait to 75.80. It got to about 93 and almost doubled in a few days. So I told my son wrong. I thought there was one more knockdown to about 75.80 bucks. Didn't happen, at least yet.
Is he ever going to speak to you again, $70 in a week? That's a big number. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I look at this... I was very supportive and enthusiastic yesterday, all weekend. I was just reading stuff that pissed me off, David. And yesterday, I started reading about some of the potential vaccines that might help a little bit, some of the cures that might help a little bit. Not cures, but stuff that might help a little bit, at least dealing with the symptoms. Some of the hospitals don't seem to be filling up quite as rapidly as people feared. There's still, if you're there, it's tough. There's no doubt about that. I think there's a chance that this, with this bill these guys put together, that even though it's very imperfect, they don't like the fact that the Fed's just printing money out. I think it's a solid or a pretty good save, bipartisan save, if we're pretty much at least looking towards normalcy in 45 days. If it's a 90 or 120 day problem, David, I think it's peeing in the ocean And I think it's the point where the Fed can't just keep printing money and saving everybody and buying everybody's bonds and buying everything. I mean, another 90 days of this, people are going to tell the Fed, you know, keep your greenbacks because they're not doing anybody any good. I mean, because I hope we don't get there. I think we really have the pressure on to make something good happen in 30 to 45 days.
I agree. And I don't know, just my gut feel when I look at the mortality percentages and this and that and the other, I you know, and even Dr. Fauci says, you know, when I say 100,000 could die or maybe even 200,000, that's worst case, and everything we're doing to mitigate that, you know, you're all, everyone, all the media and whatever is listening to worst case, worst case, worst case. You know, what is our, to calculate their worst fear? Well, in general, when you mitigate, and shut off these hotspots, the chances of getting to worst case are, he didn't say unlikely, but they're less likely.
Right.
So I tend to be, you know, and then there's best case. Well, we probably are already past best case, so that's not going to happen either. So I'm my own self. Just everything I read and all the developments and fast track to this and treatment and old things, use of plasma from you know, people, and you know, Henry Schein is another company that I'm picking at, you know, because they have something where they can, you know, test the antibodies in 5 minutes, people that have recovered quickly from this or whatever. There's so many things out there and are coming so quickly, and like you had said originally, hey, if there's something out there that exists, and you're, you know, in desperate situation, you say to your doctor, hey, give me that or I'm going to Finland to get it. You know, one way or the other. I might be the only one on the plane, but I'm going to Finland because they'll give it to me. And, yeah, so I honestly, I lean towards still the positive, situation. And I truly think in 4 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, I really think by 5 weeks, we're going to have a totally different slant on this. That doesn't mean we will necessarily have knocked the peak off or flattened the curve, but I think we'll see serious progress. It'll brighten our days and hopefully our near future.
We're going to find out that at least 200,000 people in China died from it. We're going to find out that every single person, whether or not they had advanced stage, God knows what, they caught the virus the day before they die, their death is being attributed to the virus. I think that's all they're counting over there. We're going to find out that some statistics are pretty bad, David. And hopefully we'll be getting some of our own that are pretty good pretty soon now. This test from Abbott Labs. Yeah, this test from Abbott Labs looks pretty good.
Yeah, what worries me is there was a guy on from Rutgers, and they have one that supposedly is unbelievably fast and really, you know, whatever. And I mean, he's not a private company. He's got no stock to sell or whatever. Maybe his endowment needs some enriching, but he said, I'm not knocking what Abbott has or this one at Thermo Fisher has or Gilead, whatever. I'm not, but he said there's different. The question came up, how does somebody test negative and then 2 days later they retest because they have some symptoms and they then test positive? And he said the viruses has different forms, different mutations, and affects people differently. But beyond that, the tests themselves have different sensitivity and reliability. Well, that's disconcerting to me. That worries me. If people, I'm negative. Oh, I can go have a party on my porch and invite four people over. Well, that, and then, you know, 2 days later they test positive. That's no good.
It seems to me, Dave, we only got a couple minutes, from the myriad of things I've read, that those tests, the ones that are positive and a negative or negative than positive, are near the tail end of the disease somebody has. When the antibodies are building up and you still have some of the disease in you, but you're not contagious anymore, from what I've been reading, and you've got the antibodies to where there's a level there at which, you know, the thing is that if you have one molecule of the disease in your body, the test's not going to find it, right? I mean, there's some.
Well, this guy from Rutgers said that his test would, one molecule affecting DNA, that his test would.
I'll fade that, but what I'm saying is that there's a level. I mean, everybody gets the idea that if for you to get a cold, for instance, that all you need is like one cold germ. I don't think that's the truth. I think you need enough to where it fights through your stuff, you know.
Right.
So, but this is above my pay grade, but I'm saying it's not just kind of one. I mean, when people say, oh my God, they found some of this thing alive on a flat surface 26 days later. Yeah, but was it alive enough to infect you or just alive enough to be alive? I mean, there's two questions there. All right, David, we're obviously up 100 points since last night. Is this a buy? Is this a sell? Every time it's up, do we sell?
I like the market. I really do. That said, do not chase any rallies. I like E-mini S&P June contract 2400 or slightly below, between 2386 and 2402. It's a buy. Up here or any higher, I think you continue to hedge just a little bit. Hedge 5% of portfolios. I wouldn't go short the market. I think it's a buy, but I can only buy it 5-6% lower.
Well, we don't have any calls against stuff, so from your lips to God's ears, buddy. Take care of yourself. Okay. Talk to you on Thursday. S&P futures up 33. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
Hey, guys.
What's up, G?
Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early. I
got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.